the headlines. Israeli troops kill yet another Palestinian in the occupied West Bank following an alleged attack on regime forces at a checkpoint. The German Chancellor calls for the withdrawal of Russian troops from Ukraine while Vladimir Putin tells him destructive Western policies are prolonging the Ukrainian conflict. And also, official figures show German exports fell more than forecast in October amid concerns about recession in Europe's largest economy. Hello and welcome, everybody. Israeli forces killed a Palestinian man in the West Bank in the most recent case of such deadly violence in the occupied territories. The Palestinian man was shot dead following an alleged stabbing attack against the regime's forces at a checkpoint in Nablus. Footage released on social media shows the Palestinian man shot four times at point-blank range as he was lying on the ground. The Palestinian Red Crescent says Israeli forces blocked emergency responders from reaching the victim. This will add to the nearly 210 Palestinians that have been killed by Israeli forces since the beginning of this year alone. Mona Candil is joining us now from Ramallah. Mona, please bring us up to speed on the recent Israeli aggression and violence that is taking place at a checkpoint in Nablus.
Well, according to the footage that went viral online, it's clear that an Israeli soldier was trying to arrest a Palestinian man in the village of Hawara. It's near the illegal Israeli military checkpoint of Hawara, as well as the city of Nablus. It was seen an Israeli soldier trying to arrest this Palestinian man. Others were saying in Arabic, leave him, and trying to pull the Palestinian man from the hands of the Israeli soldier. Then this Palestinian man tried to escape. He hit the Israeli soldier immediately. The Israeli soldier took his gun and shot him at least four times in the head. And he was screaming on the people not to come close. According to eyewitnesses, this Palestinian man was left bleeding for 15 minutes. Palestinian paramedics were not allowed to take him, and neither the Palestinian ambulances, until Israeli ambulance and more Israeli soldiers came to the area after almost 15 minutes, and they took him. It was, according to eyewitnesses, this Palestinian man, or the body of this Palestinian man, was wrapped in a plastic bags, and this is a sign that he was dead, and he was taken by the Israeli soldiers. The identity of this Palestinian man was revealed as a Palestinian from the village of Osarin in Nablus. The real story, it's not clear. Israeli media claims that Israeli soldiers opened fire at a Palestinian who tried to stab Israeli soldiers. But according to the video, it was showing an Israeli soldier trying to arrest an unarmed Palestinian man, and then without causing him any harm, of course, to the Israeli soldier, he opened fire and shot him in front of the people there.
All right, thanks a lot for the update. Mona Candil joining us from Ramallah. Elsewhere, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani says warning bells have started to ring for Israel and its supporters. In a Twitter post, Kanani talked about increasing global hatred of Israel, which he said can be seen among fans present at the Qatar World Cup. He also referred to a resolution the UN General Assembly adopted on Thursday that acknowledged Nakba. That's an Arabic term meaning catastrophe and used by Palestinians to refer to the day when Israel was created. The Iranian spokesman said the Israeli regime and its supporters have focused on what he called Iranophobia. He added that's in line with vain attempts to deviate attention from the issue of Palestine and give Israel life support. Kanani said Israel's efforts to normalize ties with countries won't help diminish the global hatred of the regime. Elsewhere, Russia accuses Western countries of pursuing, quote, destructive policies by pumping Kiev with weapons and training the Ukrainian military. The Russian president says political and financial support from Ukraine's Western allies has led to Kiev completely rejecting any negotiations. Vladimir Putin made the remarks during a phone conversation with the German chancellor. During the conversation, Olaf Scholz urged Putin to find a diplomatic solution to end the war, including pulling out Russian troops from Ukraine. Russia has said that it's open to talks with the U.S. on resolving the conflict in Ukraine, but the Kremlin says efforts to find a possible compromise are being hampered by the U.S. It cites the U.S. refusal to recognize the four Ukrainian regions Russia annexed in September. Finnish Prime Minister Sanna Marin says the war in Ukraine has exposed both European weaknesses and strategic mistakes in dealing with Russia. Marin made what she called the brutally honest assessment in an interview with an Australian think tank during a visit to the country. She believes Europe is not strong enough right now to stand up to Russia alone. The Finnish Prime Minister is also critical of Europe's policy towards Russia over the past decade. She says a policy aimed to make close economic ties with Russia and buy energy from it to prevent a war. But she added that that approach was proved entirely wrong after the conflict began in Ukraine. Well, the Hungarian Prime Minister says EU's decision to block funds owed to Budapest is political. He attributes the move to his country's opposition to the bloc's sanctions on Russia and its refusal to support the war in Ukraine. Viktor Orban says the European Commission's move to withhold 13 billion euros in EU funds for Hungary is also a reaction to his government's anti-migration stance. On Wednesday, the EU's executive arm recommended that the funds remain frozen over what it said was Hungary's failure to make good on promised judicial reforms. EU governments have until December 19th to vote on the proposal. Orban is a fierce critic of the bloc's policy on the war in Ukraine. Last month, he warned that the EU is playing a dangerous game by providing Ukraine with destructive weapons, training Ukrainian soldiers, and imposing sanctions on energy. Well, the Italian parliament has passed a resolution authorizing the government to continue to help Ukraine, including via military aid, throughout 2023. This says an increasing number of Italians are advocating for peace negotiations to end the Russian-Ukrainian conflict.
The Italian government has been authorized to send, when it sees fit, military assets, materials and equipment to Ukraine until December 31st next year. The go-ahead has arrived from Italy's lower house, the Chamber of Deputies, which has passed a motion presented by the right-leaning parties backing the government coalition and supported by some opposition groups, including centre-left Democratic Party and centrist Italia Viva Azione. Italy has so far classified the arms it has been sending to Ukraine, but some media have suggested the next package will likely include air and missile defence.
9 months after the start of the conflict, sending weapons to Ukraine is no longer the way to go. We must put peace talks on the table and work all together for a UN-backed peace conference promoted by the EU.
Support for Ukraine has been a contentious issue within the ruling coalition, with Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni positioning herself as a staunch supporter of Kiev. However, her partners Matteo Salvini and Silvio Berlusconi, respectively leaders of the League and Forza Italia parties, have been so far much more ambiguous due to their historical ties with Moscow and President Vladimir Putin. The two have repeatedly stressed the urgency of stepping up efforts to promote peace negotiations.
Giorgia Meloni is firmly and strongly linked or attached to the partnership and the alliance in with the United States and with NATO. So I don't think she will do something to promote compromises or peaceful or diplomatic solution.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has recently said, quote, the Western alliance intends to keep fighting for Ukraine until it wins back all the territory Russia has seized since 2014. However, there seems to be an open wedge between the parliament and the Italian people. Latest polls show that more than half of Italians advocate for peace negotiations between Russia and Ukraine, and only a third are okay with a country sending more weapons to Kiev.
Peace talks must be started now. They have to find a solution to end this war. This situation is dangerously taking us toward a brink.
We are being run by governments of weaklings in the pocket of NATO, and the Meloni government is no different. Our constitution clearly says Italy rejects war.
It's not anymore a war between Russia and Ukraine. It's about all of us. We begin to feel exhausted.
The approval of the motion in the lower house on supplying weapons to Ukraine also included a provision which increases military spending to 2% of GDP by 2028, as required by NATO. The motion is currently under discussion at the upper house. The Senate will have the final say on the matter. Max Civili, Rome.
Germany's exports fell in October for the second month in a row. Official data have put the decline at 0.6%, twice as much as what analysts predicted. The fall is mainly due to softer demand from European Union countries. That's according to Germany's Federal Statistics Agency that published the data. In the meantime, the German Chambers of Commerce and Industry predict that exports would further fall next year, declining by 2%. It comes as fears of recession this winter have already grown in Germany, which is Europe's largest economy. That's because of high inflation coupled with declining foreign demand, as well as strained supply chains. Inflation in Europe caused by energy prices has reached record levels in recent months in the wake of the Ukraine war. An attack on the office of an Afghan party headed by veteran politician Gulbuddin Hekmatyar has left several people dead or injured, but Hekmatyar himself is unharmed. The attackers first detonated a car bomb outside the office in Afghanistan's capital, Kabul, and then tried to storm the building. Reports say multiple attackers were killed and several guards injured. There's been no claim of responsibility for the attack so far. Hekmatyar served as Afghanistan's prime minister twice in the 1990s. Afghanistan has been hit by several bombings and shooting attacks in recent months, some of them claimed by Daesh terrorists. On Wednesday, an attack on a school in northern Afghanistan left 15 people dead. Stay in Kabul, where Pakistan's embassy has come under a shooting attack. All the embassy's staff are safe, but a security guard has been wounded. The embassy says the shooting was carried out by a lone attacker. Afghanistan's foreign ministry says the country will investigate what it has called a failed attack. It says the Taliban will not allow any malicious actors to pose a threat to the security of diplomatic missions in Kabul. Pakistan's Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif described the attack as an assassination attempt on Pakistan's ambassador. He called for action against the perpetrators of the, quote, heinous act. Well, the first senior officials meeting of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation was held in the Pakistani capital, Islamabad. The meeting was aimed at paving the way for closer cooperation between Islamic countries and in the field of science and technology. Iran offered its valuable contribution to the OIC in the meeting. Nasser Kazmi has more.
Pakistan has hosted a dialogue platform for the OIC member states to boost cooperation among them in the field of science and technology. Senior officials representing Iran, Kazakhstan, Tunisia, Qatar, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Pakistan attended the meeting, while Saudi Arabia, Morocco, Turkey, Azerbaijan, United Arab Emirates, and Cameroon participated via video conference. The first senior officials meeting of the OIC forum was aimed at strengthening scientific cooperation and to encouraging major technological initiatives.
This forum provides us opportunities of bilateral, multilateral cooperation. So, one or two or several countries can work together. With Iran, of course, we have a very strong cultural, historical, and scientific collaboration. And of course, Pakistan and Iran can work together.
Iran's Deputy Science Minister Peyman Salehi told the meeting that OIC was established to strengthen unity and collaboration among Islamic countries. He offered the participants Iran's cooperation in the field of science and technology.
This collaboration between 15 countries may have a very fruitful outcome in the near future. Therefore, we arranged for the first meeting of ministers that will be held, I think, about 4 to 6 months later.
The Iranian minister further said that despite the sanctions imposed by the West, Iran is self-sufficient in the field of science and technology and has invested big in its infrastructure and commercialization of technology.
In 2021, Iranian scientists published about 78,000 papers, peer-reviewed papers in international journals. And at the moment, we are in the rank 15 in the world. We have established about 50 science and technology parks in Iran, more than 240 incubators, and so on.
Participants in the meeting discussed in detail the objectives, terms of reference, and working procedures of the OIC 15 and recommended them for adoption by the Ministerial Committee, which is scheduled to be held in the near future.
The presence of Iranian officials in the OIC meeting shows that Iran is not dependent on the East or the West, and it's ready to boost its political and scientific cooperation with various countries across the globe. Nasser Kazmi in Islamabad.
Saudi Arabia's naval and air blockade on its impoverished neighbor Yemen began in 2015. The act seems to have taken the heaviest toll on those battling different diseases who cannot gain access to the medication they need. Abdul Latif Al-Washali has more in this report.
The repercussions of the war in Yemen and the difficult economic conditions continue to take a heavy toll on Yemeni patients. Yemen's Ministry of Public Health and Population held a press conference to shed light on the impact of the continued Saudi siege on thalassemia patients. Those suffering from this disease need to get blood transfusions every 3 weeks and must stay on medication for life.
Our main concern is the lack of medicines for thalassemia patients. These medicines, if available, are very expensive in addition to the lack of necessary medical examinations. We have 20,000 registered patients, while the real numbers are many times higher. These children need special medical care, and we hope that international organizations will stand by them by providing them with what they need.
The Yemeni Health Ministry has recorded nearly 500 deaths due to the lack of only one of the drugs used to treat thalassemia. The ones grappling with the disease seem to be losing hope as time goes by. With their health constantly deteriorating, they are desperately asking for help from international organizations, including the UN.
We suffer a lot from thalassemia. Medicines are not available. We need expensive medicines such as growth injections. We also suffer from a shortage of blood donors, which is what we need continuously.
We greatly need to be provided with important medicines that have not been available since the beginning of the war, such as iron withdrawal treatments. Because our iron level is high due to frequent blood transfusions, which also causes frequent infections.
Saudi Arabia's siege on Yemen and the ensuing shortages of food and medicine is putting more lives at risk every day. The healthcare system is feeling a massive strain, and the international community has yet to take any definitive steps towards ending the crisis here. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت القرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
Path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam and welcome to our weekly episode of Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran, that was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Last week, we took up explanation of Surah Mumtahine, which means the woman tested, revealed in Medina regarding the examining of the faith of migrant women who renounce paganism and accept Islam. It has 13 ayahs and is number 60 in the serial order of compilation of the Noble Quran. Today, we complete it, and here are ayahs 7, 8, and 9.
عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ عَادَيْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَاللَّهُ قَدِيرٌ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين إنما ينهاكم الله عن الذين قاتلوكم في الدين وأخرجوكم من دياركم وظاهروا على إخراجكم أن تولوهم ومن يتولهم فأولئك هم الظالمون.
It may be that Allah will bring about affection between you and those with whom you are at enmity. And Allah is all-powerful, and Allah is all-forgiving, all-merciful. Allah does not forbid you from dealing with kindness and justice with those polytheists who did not make war against you on account of religion and did not expel you from your homes. Indeed, Allah loves the just. Allah forbids you only in regard to those who made war against you on account of religion and expelled you from your homes and supported the polytheists of Mecca in your expulsion, that you make friends with them, and whoever makes friends with them, it is they who are the wrongdoers. If you might recall, last Friday in our explanation of the previous ayahs of this surah, we said that it was not possible for a person to claim to be obedient to God and the Prophet, as well as those who are the enemies of faith and believers, even if they happen to be relatives. Bonds based upon religion take precedence over family bonds and are thus the deciding factor for one's salvation towards the bliss of paradise or falling to the bowels of hell. We also said that the words and deeds of the prophets are divine inspiration, and they are thus the practical exemplars or role model for all of us, especially for the believers. The ayahs that we recited to you tell the Muslims who had migrated from Mecca to Medina that your polytheist relatives of Mecca may embrace Islam in the near future and that enmity will turn into friendship. God does not forbid the believers from having ties and doing good in a just manner with those non-Muslims who neither confronted Muslims nor drove them out of their homeland. He solely forbids you to refrain from befriending those who fought against you because of your faith and drove you out of your homeland or contributed to your being driven out, and whoever befriends them is a wrongdoer disobeying Allah's command. These ayahs teach us that, number one, the criterion for kindness or enmity between Muslims and others are religious teachings on whose basis non-Muslims who have not mistreated Muslims should be dealt with affection, while those who confronted the believers should be disavowed. Number two, if the enemies end their hostility, we should overlook their misbehavior of the past. Number three, Islam is the religion of justice even towards disbelievers. And number four, charity and good deeds should cover the needy disbelievers as well. Now let us listen to ayahs 10 and 11 of the same surah.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا جاءكم المؤمنات مهاجرات فامتحنوهن الله أعلم بإيمانهن فإن علمتموهن مؤمنات فلا ترجعوهن إلى الكفار لا هن حل لهم ولا هم يحلون لهن وآتوهم ما أنفقوا ولا جناح عليكم أن تنكحوهن إذا آتيتموهن أجورهن ولا تمسكوا بعصم الكوافر واسألوا ما أنفقتم وليسألوا ما أنفقوا ذلكم حكم الله يحكم بينكم والله عليم حكيم وإن فاتكم شيء من أزواجكم إلى الكفار فعاقبتم فآتوا الذين ذهبت أزواجهم مثل ما أنفقوا واتقوا الله الذي أنتم به مؤمنون.
O you who have faith, when faithful women come to you as immigrants, test them. Allah knows best the state of their faith. Then, if you ascertain them to be genuinely faithful women, do not send them back to the faithless. They are not lawful for them, nor are they lawful for them, but give them what dowry they have spent for them. There is no sin upon you in marrying them when you have given them their dowries. Do not hold on to conjugal ties with faithless women. Demand from the infidels what you have spent as dowries, and let the faithless demand from you what they have spent as dowries. That is Allah's judgment. He judges between you, and Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. If anything of the dowries pertaining to your wives is not reclaimed from the faithless, and then you have your turn, then give to those whose wives have left them the like of what they have spent, and be wary of Allah in whom you have faith. These ayahs discuss conjugal relations of a couple when one of them becomes faithless while the other is faithful. If an immigrant woman seeks refuge with the Muslims, she should be examined, and in case her belief is ascertained, she should not be handed over to the disbelievers. Islam, however, is the faith of justice and neither leaves the immigrant woman on her own, nor ignores the right of the disbeliever husband, who should be reimbursed for what he had spent upon her. These ayahs teach us the following points. Number one, a husband cannot force the wife to follow his faith. Number two, conjugal life ends between a couple if either has become faithless. Number three, if an infidel woman claims to have become Muslim, her case ought to be thoroughly examined to ascertain the reason, whether it is sincerity or not more than mere passionate attachment to a Muslim man, or still a case of espionage. And number four, the rights of non-Muslims ought to be observed irrespective of their belief. We conclude this week's episode of Path Towards Enlightenment by presenting you the last two ayahs of Surah Mumtahine, 12 and 13.
Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu idha ja'aka al-mu'minatu yubayi'naka 'ala an la yushrikna billahi shay'an wa la yasriquna wa la yaznina wa la yaqtulna awladahun ولا يقتلن أولادهن ولا يأتين ببهتان يفترينه بين أيديهن وأرجلهن ولا يعصينك في معروف فبايعهن واستغفر لهن الله إن الله غفور رحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتولوا قوما غضب الله عليهم قد يئسوا من الآخرة كما يئس الكفار من أصحاب القبور.
O Prophet, if faithful women come to you to take the oath of allegiance to you, pledging that they shall not ascribe any partners to Allah, that they shall not steal, nor commit adultery, nor kill their children, nor utter any slander that they may have intentionally fabricated, nor disobey you in what is right, then accept their allegiance and plead for them to Allah for forgiveness. Indeed, Allah is all forgiving, all merciful. O you who have faith, do not befriend the people at whom Allah is wrathful. They have despaired of the hereafter, just as the faithless have despaired of the occupants of the graves. These ayahs pertain to the faithless women who claimed to have accepted Islam at the peaceful surrender of Mecca to the Muslims. Certain conditions have to be met before accepting Islam, as is evident in the ayah itself, which forbids the wife to steal from her husband, commit adultery in his absence, abort the pregnancy, indulge in slander and several other evils, which should be cleansed from the society in order to make the Islamic environment sound and healthy. From these ayahs, we'll learn that, number one, in Islam, a woman is an independent person who has her own rights. And number two, cleansing the society from financial and sexual corruption sets the ground for a sound and healthy atmosphere, since many social ills stem from unbridled marital relations. Well, that marks the end of Surah Mumtahaneh. Next week, we will start explanation of Surah Saf. God bless upon you and goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Asad Jafari.
Cultivating an Islamic identity has been our ongoing topic. It's a massive topic. It's a massive undertaking. So tonight, I want to look at God. It's important to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributes, all of you know, that are connected to His essence. And inshallah, later on in the lecture, I'll present to you a very beautiful verse that really kind of captures this discussion of God's essence and God's sifat qualities. Before that, however, you also know the ulama now have broken down the categories or the sifat into different categories. Right? Fi'liya, dhatiya, all of that, inshallah. One beautiful breakdown of these qualities is the jamali versus jalali aspect of God. Now, before that, there are some individuals who are beauty-oriented by nature. In fact, I would argue that we are all innately beauty-oriented. If we're driving home, we see a nice sunset, we might pull over and grab a picture. If we go, let's say, for example, to the mountains, let's say, for example, and we stop and we want to have like a lake view house, for example, or a cottage, again, we'll enjoy the idea that's very serene. We'll sit there and not say anything and embrace that beauty. People will stop and smell the roses, the waterfalls that they love. There's selfies everywhere. And there are those that focus on the beautiful qualities of God. They understand Him to be forgiving. Understand Him to be merciful. All they see everywhere they look are the qualities and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma ma bina min ni'matin faminik. Everything I have is from You. Everything I see is from You. In the process now, because they are now focusing on the jamal of Allah, the beauty of Allah, they end up loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so in the process now they fall in love with Allah because all they see are rainbows. There are people who are always positive. It's annoying sometimes, it really is. How can you be so positive? Somehow they find some sort of goodness, let's say, in sometimes the most difficult situations. They never stop saying Alhamdulillah. They say that, you know, Nabi Isa was with his disciples walking by a dead corpse of an animal. It's been there for a couple of days now. There's a nasty smell to it. There's maggots, there's flies, blah, 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 this and that. It's a very hideous sight. Disciple says, you know, look how disgusting this is. And Nabi Isa looks at the animal and says, look how straight his teeth are. It's the focus, right? It's what you see. There are people who focus only on the jamal of Allah. Then there are those who focus on the jalal of Allah. Meaning what? The power of Allah. The majestic power of Allah, the fear of Allah. And their entire focus is, let's make sure I don't disappoint Allah, I don't anger Allah, I don't do anything to let Him down, make sure I follow everything to a T, because if I anger Allah, then there's a lot of problems I have. So everything now, everything I do, everything I worship, how I worship, is all based on the fact, don't anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's powerful. And while the first group now focuses on the beauty, and that result in the love of Allah, the second group focuses on Jalal, the power of Allah, and ends up fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So far so good? Jalal? Yes. Okay. Now both of them, and by the way, this is in Imam Khomeini's Adab al-Salat, opening couple of chapters of chapter 5, chapter 6, where he says that khushu, humbleness you need, to even enter the realm of Salat, can come from both of these aspects. Meaning what? You can be humbled by both the love of Allah and by the fear of Allah. Let me explain. I'll give you examples. So for example, let's say for example, those of you who are Jamali, mashallah, you're a half glass full person. How does that humble you? I'll take my elders back to the time where you were a newlywed, mashallah. Remember that time? Just got married, first 2 weeks. That excitement you have. Everything now is an event. Breakfast is an event. Waking up is an event. Combing your hair is an event. You come downstairs ready. You can't wait. You can hear her walking up the stairs, coming downstairs. You stand up straight. You make sure, you know, you look good. Everything's all right. She's coming downstairs. Adia, Adia, oh my God. Your heart is beating. Your palms are sweaty. Right? You're in love. I mean, this is my newlywed. This is my bride. This is my husband. He's coming from work now. He should be here. You're looking outside the door, 502, 505, 510. You hear the keys ruffling. He's here. Open the door. Assalamu alaikum. How was your day? Good. Please come. Long time ago, right? If he's leaving, let's say for example, you'll walk him to the door. Okay, khulafis, have a good day, and then you'll sit there by the door as he drives away, and you'll wave goodbye. And as he makes that turn, now you'll close the door. Okay, he's gone. That's it. Now he says, "I'm leaving. Why are you still here? Why haven't you left yet? You said you're going 5 minutes ago." Hi. What happened 20 years? No idea. But that love made you humble. You want to make sure? Nothing. Absolutely no. I don't want to do anything to upset the one that I love. And so you have this anxiety in a very good way that, okay, you know, make sure you set up right, this and that. You know that she loves this and loves that. Bring that home, for example, right? She loves a certain coffee, let's say, for example. One cream, two sugars, no cream, no sugar, blah, 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 this and that. Okay, she loves her Boston cream donuts. Bring home Boston cream donuts. Make sure, here you go, I thought about you. That all humbles you, brings you down. There's no pride. If she says, "Look, I'm really craving Baskin Robbins this flavor," because it doesn't matter. You go get it yourself. No, you're in love. Yeah, absolutely. That beauty humbles you. What about Jalal? Again, example. You're applying for a major corporation. This is your dream job. Dream job. And you're almost there. You've been through one interview and two interviews. The final step in getting your job is to meet the CEO. 10 o'clock now, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, you have your interview. And if you nail this now, you got the job. Your dream job. I'm set for life if I get this job. And you're nervous. Absolutely. It's an element of fear. Sure there is. It's an authority figure inside that boardroom. And so 9:30 you arrive now, you check in, have a seat, we'll call you when it's ready. 9:40, 9:45 hits, your heart is racing, your palms, exact same symptoms as you had with your newlywed bride. That was love, this is fear. Both of them humble you. They humble you. Now Imam Khomeini goes one step further. He says that sometimes the Jamal becomes a Jalal, Jalal becomes a Jamal. Again, I'll explain. They tell these stories in Qum of Layla and Majnoon. You've heard these stories, I'm sure. Layla was a girl, and Majnoon, the actual translation of Majnoon is that he was crazy in love with her. So they call him Majnoon. He was mad. He was, you know, in his love for him, he was a divana. He's completely out of... I remember my Farsi teacher told me this one story, and it stuck to me. It was beautiful. Layla, they say, was serving food one day. It's a very famous story. Serving food one day, I don't know, somewhere, let's say, for example, in a public meal. And so, you know, Majnoon found out that Layla's downtown serving food. And wherever Layla is, I have to be there. I don't want to put thoughts in my young guys' heads. Wallahi. Please. Understand the message. So he grabs a plate. He waits in line. Now, the thing is, no matter how much Majnoon tries to show his love to Layla, she never, ever accepts it. In fact, she's quite rude. She rejects it flat out. So now everyone in town knows that this guy is, you know, what is it about her? She's obviously telling you, look, I'm not interested, but no. So wherever she is, he shows up. And everyone's like, look, he's in line holding a plate. He gets closer and closer. Now his heart's pounding. It's time for him now to get the food. Now she's there, he's there. She sees it's him. She grabs his plate and smashes it on the ground. What does he do? He smiles. He blushes. Everyone sees. The whole town sees. He walked away. He says, "I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it." Are you crazy? Are you all right? She broke your plate. He said, yes, but she broke my plate. Of everyone's plate to break, she chose my plate to break. What was a Jalali act? He saw as a Jamali act. What was Jalal to everybody else? The anger of Layla, the smashing, the crash sound? He thought Jamal, beautiful.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Hali Hakim Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Current world order will be replaced by a new order where US is isolated, Asia powerful, resistance front expanded. This is the part of a speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution during a meeting with students on Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. This meeting was held on the occasion of National Students' Day and National Day of Fighting Against Global Arrogance, which are commemorated on the 13th of Aban, 4th of November. The enemy initiated hybrid warfare. The enemy, namely the United States, the Zionist regime, some insidious and malicious European powers, and some groups came to the scene with all of their capabilities. What do we mean when we say they used all their capabilities? It means they used their intelligence services, their media, their social media capacity, and their past experiences. Well, they have had experiences in Iran. They had experiences in 1999, in 2009, and in the years after that. They failed there. They are using those experiences. They are bringing those experiences to the scene. They have done these things in other countries as well. They sustained some blows, and they have also had some successes. They use those experiences as well.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The enemy brought all these capabilities to the field these past few weeks in order to defeat the Iranian nation. Like I said, the nation literally punched them in the mouth. The Iranian nation left them wanting. Well, now this is an expectation that I have of you, my dear youth, and all the other youth who will hear this talk later. But I do have another expectation as well. I mentioned in one or two of my previous speeches that there are many signs that indicate that the current world order is changing and a new order will prevail over the world. What role do we Iranians have? And where will be positioned in this new order? This is an important question. What is this new order that I am talking about, where the current order will be replaced by a new one? It cannot be said for certain. The dimensions and nature of the new order are not exactly known, but a layout can be drawn.
Allah, I want to thank you. That you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website.